Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord that engages us this morning comes from the epistle lesson that DC just read. In case nobody has told you, there's an important day coming next week that we call Call Day around here. It appears from your reaction that most of you are already aware of the presence of that day. In case you weren't aware, after Call Day comes successful completion of all academic requirements. Somebody has to do that. Gibbs usually does it, so. And then comes graduation. And then comes a move to the place where God has called you to serve. Be that for some of you in a few weeks, for some of you in a year, for some of you 2 or 3 years or more. At every ordination and installation service I've attended in the last couple of decades, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, has always been cited. It's included in the list of key verses about pastoral ministry in the agendas for the services for ordination and installations, along with the preceding verses, verses 2 to 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and parakaleo, that is, exhort, encourage, with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound, healthy teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. In the few sentences before those, chapter 3, Paul had emphasized the temptations that were present in their day, the godlessness, the opposition to the truth of the gospel that was present then that sounds very similar to what we see today in our culture. Yet Paul further emphasized that he and Timothy could endure the persecutions that were befalling them. They could be confident that the Lord had rescued them and would continue to rescue them because they could trust the sacred writings, the God-breathed scriptures that make you wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. I think it's safe to say that Paul's prophecy about a time is coming has already arrived. There are many challenges, many persecutions that will face those of you who receive calls next week. But to quote Craig Ryder, quoting President Meyer, it's a great time to become a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sorry, I knew I couldn't pull that off as well as Craig. But how about if I simply quote Paul again here with verse 5 that says something rather similar. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Verse 5 is part of the ordination installation text, but not verses 6 to 18 that we heard. Those we heard because today we're celebrating the feast of St. Mark the Evangelist. Ironically, in verse 11, Paul mentions two of those great evangelists, that is, the gospel writers, Luke and Mark, in the very same verse. Luke is already with Paul. Paul wants Timothy to bring Mark along with him, along with the books and parchments that could very well have included the Gospels already written by one or both of those men. Years before, Mark had been a young man accompanying Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 12. But then we learn of a disagreement in Acts chapter 15 because of Mark, who perhaps had not been so sober-minded or willing to endure suffering and had abandoned them in an earlier phase. But in this text, we learn that Mark, perhaps 15 or 20 years after that, had renewed Paul's trust in him. Early errors of ministry can, by the grace of God, be reconciled, even those you might make in the first few years of ministry. But the key verses of today's texts are Paul's testimony, his last testimony about the coming end of his life, and the Lord Jesus, who he is trusting to the very end. For I am being already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. This has been an interesting text for me to contemplate this week, as I realize, since I've preached on this, I've moved on. And in our culture, we call people my age middle-aged, which is really a euphemism, because if I'm middle-aged right now, it means the Lord's going to give me life until I'm 111, which I actually hope doesn't occur. When I was in my 20s, 30s, and even when I was starting into pastoral ministry in my early 40s, I identified more with young Timothy receiving this letter. But as the years move on and generations pass, I now identify more with Paul writing it. I pray that the time of my departure will still be a decade or two or three away. I pray that I will not be martyred in the same way like Paul was, but I pray that if that does happen, that the Lord would strengthen me as he did Paul at that time. Last Friday, we were focused upon Christ's first crown, that is, the crown of thorns placed upon his head on the day of his crucifixion. I do thank my Lord Jesus that because of his crown of earthly thorns, he has laid up for me and for you a crown of righteousness, which he will award us on that last day. I thank my God that I have all of you who continue to preach the word to me, to teach the word, to teach me the healthy God-breathed scriptures that reprove and encourage me to keep me from wandering away from his truth and into myths. May the Lord, through his Holy Spirit working through each of us, continue to rescue us from this evil, from every evil deed, and from this evil age, and bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.